You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for ChartsAndMarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Good to be with you this Friday morning and with our audience out there.
We'll kick off the show with a listener question from Justin in Berkeley, California. Hi, Bob and Jim. I'm sure Bob will be entertained by this headline. File this under the really, I am shocked, I say, department. Treasury declared the U.S. insolvent.
Yeah, whoa. Yeah, I like the line about shocked, That's from Casablanca. But anyways, insolvent, I think so. It's the usual thing. So long as everybody doesn't redeem their U.S. Debt at the same time, it works. So they'll just keep rolling things over. Yeah.
Is there going to be a debt holiday? Remember, after the Second World War, every country was in debt up to their eyeballs, and they kind of rearranged things, except in Britain, where they had rationing into the mid-50s.
Oh, yeah. The Brits went control freak crazy, and even radio, CBC, BBC. British Broadcasting Corp.
Yeah,
they played what they wanted to, and then you had these pirate radio stations set up on anchored ships or barges out in outside the limits, broadcasting into England. The programs and music that the Brits wanted to hear, not what BBC was saying. So you get some interesting results.
Well, you had pirate radio and Radio Luxembourg broadcasting.
You remember it better than I do.
Oh, yes. Kid Jensen from the Yukon, a cousin of Pam Newton, who I worked with at Rock 101 back in the 80s. He was huge on the BBC. But so all these pirate radio stations, they set up on the anti-aircraft forts that were on stilts out in the English Channel because they were just outside the 12-mile limit.
Yeah.
And ships that had the turntables on gambles. And I watched a really good documentary on it, and my wife has a book on pirate radio. But yeah, they played, but... fighting seasickness, but the most important thing was stay on the air, even if your ship was about to sink. And I know that's like modern radio with so many...
Maybe we're pirate broadcasting.
Yeah. So maybe. With these massive government debts out there, Bob, will they ever be solved, or is it just a case of you just blindly carry on because
no one's
ever going to call the loan?
In a severe contraction... things just go wild. So anyways, but I came across a quotation, very timely for now. When the curtailment of government spending is imperative, they demand more welfare projects. When the need for men of productive ability is desperate, they demand equality for the incompetence. When the country needs the accumulation of capital, they demand that we soak the rich. When a country needs more savings, they demand a, quote, redistribution of income. Now, you'd think that might have been written last week, but this is from the Ayn Rand letter, July 1974. So, yeah, and I did this with a cartoon. I had David Brown working with me then as a cartoon, and we have the cartoon is at the top, international socialism, then a hand with down to Obama as a puppet. And the total headline is International Socialism, establishes a puppet government. And indeed, that was the case with Obama. He was going to change the United States, and liberals thought that was exciting. He wanted to change it into a socialist country. And he did a pretty good start at it.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing that really has the Republicans concerned is the election of Mamdani as the new mayor of New York, and he's an avowed socialist.
Also, he a devout Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, no, he is a Muslim socialist, and I think that is very threatening to ordinary life.
Well, it's a case, as they said, young people can't afford to buy homes. Their pay is way below the inflation rate. I guess they feel desperate because that's what happens. That's how you get communist regimes in China and Russia. The regular folks were so desperate.
Yeah, and there is desperation out there now. And the great boom is ending. Perhaps it is ended. And then there really will be some hard times. So we're just possibly in the transition from the greatest financial boom in history to a great contraction. And also, it's worth pointing out that these things are all the same. This is the sixth greatest great financial boom. And the first one was the South Sea Bubble of 1720. And then there was another bubble, 1772, then 1825, then 1873. So 1929 was number five. And our bubble, which may have climaxed, is number six in the series. And the amazing thing, Jim, is that there are items common to each one. As you go through the zoom up to complete climax, and then the transition. And what I see now here is that the recent action really did become straight up, and then there is also a chart showing the participation of the retail stock account in it. And let's face it, the retail stock account doesn't buy at bottoms. The stock market doesn't exist. So one of the bad things, the telltale signs of a top is when the retail trade comes in aggressively and buys. And there, as I say, Jim, there are charts that show that.
Isn't that FOMO, fear of missing out, when people go, look what Bitcoin is. It's at 124,000. I better get in on it.
Oh, yeah. Fear of missing out. That's a really a good one.
Yeah. So they want to, but by the time you notice it, because I've seen this, well, we both have. We've been around long enough that, that is so high. Gold's at 5,600. I guess I better buy some. Well, no, you should have bought it at 2,000.
Yeah. Or way back when it was less than $400. And that was a long time. Oh, and then way back when it was fixed at $35 an ounce for so long.
Back in the 70s.
Yeah, in U.S. dollars, yeah. Now, that was also a crazy idea, too. So, anyways, and it was Nixon in August 1971 who stopped the convertibility of the U.S. dollar, and then all of the interventionist economists and central bankers could go crazy because there was no discipline. And then the result has been all of these decades of chronic inflation, great speculations, the whole wild thing. And it's coming to an end.
We'll take a look at some of the headlines that caught Bob's eye right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, Radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Headlines that caught your eye. The first one, Moody's cuts rating on private credit fund run by KKR and Future Standard to junk as bad loans grow.
Yeah. Private credit. These are sort of private monies that are investing in all kinds of wild things. I had to look up this thing of private credit, and that's essentially what it is. It's just another way of formulating funds to go into crazy wild deals.
Well, that's where the big lenders, the standard lenders, the banks and so on, say you're too risky, so you look to other money. In the old days, we used to call it loan sharking.
Good one.
Another headline, Wall Street crisis spreads as shadow banks block withdrawals. Is that connected to the first one?
Yeah, I had to look that one up. And shadow banks are kind of like quickly set up near banks. And strictly for speculation in the financial market. So that is this is another potentially deadly condition. Yeah.
So again, these are the people who will lend you money when the big boys won't.
Yep. Yeah. Well, when the mainstream banks won't.
Yeah. Well, they're the big boys.
Yeah.
And then there's the shadow boys.
Yeah.
And then there's the other ones below that who are, we'll give you some crypto or whatever. Headline here, recession odds climb on Wall Street as economy shows cracks beneath the surface. That's probably our most important headline, Bob.
I think it is. Because honestly, any powerful boom ends with a climax and then cracks. And of course, when it is an exceptional boom, I've called them great financial bubbles. And this is number six, as we've been saying. And it has climaxed. It's been at a huge price. And great speculation, retail trade coming in, all of these things suggest that it is very vulnerable. And we've had a nasty crack in it. So we'll just see the correction, if it is just merely a correction. But anyways, this let's call it a consolidation, could last for a few months. And then the key thing will be, and it's quite likely, that the stock market just rolls over, you know. Yeah. So.
What kind of warning signs do you look for, Bob, when we're in a position like this?
Oh, we've been talking about them.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Harder to get credit.
Well, all of the things we've been talking about. Retail trade in, great dynamics, and all of that stuff.
Plus, we have a new technology change with AI poised to replace thousands and thousands of jobs, where we've seen people like Block lay off 40% of their workforce, 4,000 people, saying they'll be replaced by AI. Amazon saying they're going to get rid of nearly 2 million workers, replace them with robots over the next couple of years. Where are these people going to go, and do we have to put a tax on robots, an income tax?
I don't know about taxing robots, but the governments will tax anything. They'll find out a way. It's a deadly game. Government presents the idea that it's a beneficial thing, when actually in this kind of where we are in financial history, government is a predator, and it's sucking or finding all kinds of ways to suck private wealth out of private pockets and into the hands of the state. Not a good thing, and it is a great one. Also, another description I've had has been a tyrannical century. And all you have to do is look at the last 100-plus years, say begin about 1900. It's been war after war after war against neighboring countries, plus you can call it an undeclared war against the citizens. And then when onerous taxation or taxation gets too onerous, then they come in and depreciate the currency. And that was the case, and we've seen it here now. And then rules and regulations and control freaks and all that. So ours is the third a tyrannical century. Mm. The previous one began about 1500, and the reform is best followed in England, because Germany got caught up in the 40 Years' War, and some call it an 80 Years' War. But in England, in the early 1600s, the reform movement started. And the movement was against authoritarian government. And then you had a wonderful event. It was called the Glorious Revolution of 1688. And that name, the Glorious Revolution, was given to it by a writer at the time, the year after. And it was just where folk, from country folk to city folk living downtown, poor people, rich people, prosperous people, broke people, everything else, just had enough of it. And then King James, who at the disorder, pending developing disorder, threatened to bring over troops from Catholic France. Well, that did it, and he and his advisors saw the way, the tone of politics in England, and decamped. They left, and as I like to say, James sought solace in authoritarian France. So the Glorious Revolution was truly glorious, and there's no question we need another one now, and I do think that another glorious is developing, and I'm glad I'm here to watch it.
Now we have SNB. Is that the Saudi National Bank?
I don't know.
Has increased readiness to intervene in Forex markets.
Yeah, intervention in Forex market. They think that they can control things, and it won't work.
Well, it's such a fluid market, and it's so big. How can know, one bank control it? Although the Saudis do have a little cash kicking around.
No matter how much you got, it's nothing compared to the whole global market out there for financial instruments.
And this headline, Bob, both sides starting ceasefire positions are, we won, you surrender.
Jim, that's a good one.
It sounds like something you would see in Bugs Bunny. Of course, you know, this means Wawa. But really, I think The U.S.-Iran war could last a lot longer because, as someone said, when you kick a hornet's nest, it's the hornets who decide when it's over.
Yeah, but in this case, you have crazed religious leaders developing atomic bombs in order to destroy Israel. So, and they were making headway on creating the kind of uranium, fissionable uranium you need for a bomb. And when you got crazy religious fanatics, they would have done it, Jim. So it was quite appropriate to take them out. Now, the Ayatollahs thought that they were absolutely bulletproof, so to speak, because they had all kinds of missile sites all over the place that with a raid upon them, these things would go off and take out all other countries in the region. But the American hardware and software annihilated all of those possibilities. So the shutdown of the religious fanatics has been very quick and very effective.
Bob, always fun chatting with you.
Yeah, Jim, I always enjoy our get-togethers, and let's look forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Find us on X at How Street. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.